So we're heading into open lines, and that means that we'll take your call. We'd love to find out what direction you want to go in. That smiley face killer segment came directly out of several open line comments over the last couple of months saying, what about that? Where do we stand with that? Now we know, and we'll continue to watch it. But that's just one reason why you may be calling open lines. It could be on a past show, be about body language we were talking about last night, or experiences that you've had on other shows you just want to pick up on, you couldn't get through then, and now's your chance. Wherever you want to take us, we'll find out next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. East of the Rockies, Jamal gets us started for open lines for the rest of this night on Coast to Coast. He is in Miami. Jamal, where are you going to take us?
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
Couldn't be better. Thank you.
Yeah, I just had a little bit of practical advice concerning anybody who might feel like they are either being attacked or haunted by negative entities of any sort, any type.
All right. What have you done?
Yeah, it seems to me that trying so many different things, for me at least, the easiest thing that seems to work all the time is to just, whenever you have a quiet moment, just, you know, kind of do a little bit of a peaceful meditation where you can just focus on your breathing. That always helps to feel really calm. And if you can just remember to feel that emotion, which is not really a strong emotion, just, you know, that blissful emotion of just peace, and you carry that through with you throughout most of your day, it seems like they just become very disinterested in you. Like, this guy is just, he's not very passionate about feeling good or bad. He's just calm. He's kind of boring, and they just leave you alone. That's what seems to happen. I mean,
How do you categorize the negative energy? What do you mean by that?
Well, I would say, okay, for example, speaking from personal experience, if you're going through a rough time in life and you're questioning a lot of things, and maybe you'll be laying down to sleep and you'll just see images, dark faces before you're you know, passing out to go to bed, and you'll just see them coming and you'll just feel fear. Or even if you like kind of wake up from a dream, and you know, people talk about sleep paralysis, and you know, fear always comes up. But if you can just remember, oh yeah, if I want to, I can just, you know, flick that switch and feel peaceful.
It Where do they like
almost instantly they just get annoyed or bored with you and they just leave.
I thank you for putting up with my questions. I'm curious about, because you speak about them with a kind of sentience, like they think that they get bored with you and they just leave.
Right.
Where do they come from?
Well, who knows? I mean, everyone has their own belief structure and theories on where they come from. But
what about you?
Well, me personally, I feel like they can come from anywhere, because I definitely prefer to believe in an infinite cosmos, an infinite existence where anything that you can imagine probably already exists. And maybe they're just coming from little areas where they've got a little bit easier time coming through to our realm, and we're kind of stuck here. We're kind of limited in our perspective. They may not be, you know.
Very interesting. I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you, Jamal. Good way to get us started. Bob, first time caller line. He is in the great state of hockey. And Bob, where do you want to take us?
Well, you know, I guess I have a slight little connection to one of the missing young men that were talked about, just in that he's was gone missing from the same town that I live in. And I was one of the people that volunteered to go out and look for him or look for clues. And it just perplexed me that the whole story just seemed a little odd as far as why anyone would want to harm him or why he wouldn't just be found somewhere after a fight or something. And now hearing about this, it just really kind of opens my eyes. And I've been thinking about what would make a person do this, whether it's one or a group. And in the last year or so, I've read every book that John Douglas has written about profiling and motive and everything else. And I just wanted to offer my amateur profile.
Yeah, tell me.
What kind of person would do what their purpose would be, and when maybe what they're trying to show by the way that the bodies are being found.
And this is to do harm to college-age men who find themselves drunk, walking away from a bar, walking away from a party, and end up some weeks or months later being found in some type of body of water, and often under these very mysterious circumstances.
Right, and I think just from what I've put together, first of all, it seems like the murders are punishment. It doesn't seem like, if there's no physical evidence, that the people doing it aren't doing it because they're enjoying harming a person. They're actually dying in a way that would be, although it would be horrible. certainly wouldn't be considered painful or prolonged pain. You know, a lot of people that have been close to drowning have talked about it even being euphoric, you know, once you're just not breathing anymore. But it seems like it's for punishment and it's to be made an example of. I want to almost kind of think that the water might symbolize, to an extremely zealous religious person, it may symbolize baptizing them. You know, baptism is considered a transition from one life to a new and better life. I don't feel extremely strongly about the water necessarily being a baptism thing. I do think that the reason that the bodies possibly are found later is, and why they may be kept alive, first of all, it may be for an indoctrination and told why, you know, why what's going to happen to them is going to happen. But I think it may be to work toxins out of their system, because I have been reading on Christie's website about some of the possible date rape drugs and how there can be, you know, traces of that still in a system 2 or 3 weeks after a person has been giving it, which again, you know, I don't think necessarily that their motive may be that people think that, you know, they've been killed. They were killed by a clever killer. I think they want them to think it was accidental, and that you know, look, if you go out and you drink, this is what's going to happen to you.
Sure.
And that would make them, of course, not want anything toxic to be found in the body.
It's very interesting. I appreciate that. Obviously,
if you watch the video too, just real quickly, if you watch the video, in the right-hand corner, there are two men that are standing right next to each other, staring directly at the young man that went missing. One of them kind of walked towards the young man and turned back, and they're both wearing very conservative-looking jackets. They both have short hair. They both look like they're possibly in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're dressed kind of alike. And they seem to be focusing just on him. And it just gives me a weird feeling that he was targeted and that they're all being targeted to be made an example of.
Well, it very interesting. Right now, still very open. And what he's referring to, if you're just tuning in, is something that you can link up to at coasttocoastam.com. You go to our guest that we had on for the first couple of hours, including a forensic pathologist who we brought on as an expert, to say that there are solid cases in which a college age guy has gone missing, and there are lots of questions about how this could keep happening and why it keeps happening along really such a thick number of cases around the I-94 corridor, stretching from the upper Midwest all the way out to the East Coast. The rest I'll just leave up to you. If you look up on the website, you'll see the link there. Rick is in Virginia on Coast to Coast. Rick?
Good evening, Ian. I would tend to agree with you that the name needs to be changed, because remember, the smiley face from back in the 70s is about as common as Kilroy was here in World War II.
Sure.
And
yeah, I totally agree with it.
Yeah, I've been in security for over 30 years, and I can tell you right now, one of the reasons we're getting resistance, our police tend to be a rather arrogant bunch. You know, how dare you say I'm wrong?
Right.
You know, I just hope that she gives a lot of success to this, because it needs to be looked into. And I'd like to have you put something in the file for the next time you have Mr. Zimmer on. The food guy?
Andrew Zimmern, Bizarre Foods, last night on Coast to Coast, correct?
Right. I tried to get through. I wanted to ask him if one of these times he had chowed down, started hearing laughter from the kitchen and giggles from the waitresses.
You know, it's a funny idea. In fact, I've asked him that question personally before, and I asked him whether he ever felt like any of these foods were a put-on. And he said that, no, they investigate this. They make sure that nobody's going, yeah, we have popsicle eyeballs, you know. And he said, no. He said they have all sorts of details of the producer's workup for each one of the dishes. But I'm with you. That's where my mind went to once. John is in Seattle, Washington. First-time caller line. Oh, no, sorry, wild card line on Coast to Coast. John?
Hey, Ian, thanks a lot for taking my call. I just want to say, last time I called, I was talking to Art Bell. So, long-time listener, long-time fan.
Yeah, really?
Fan.
Well, good.
Let me touch on 5 quick points for you real quick. Let's see if we can work this out. Okay, the first thing is, the previous caller that said there was a videotape of one of these guys that disappeared and said that there was two guys that were watching him, it sounds to me like those two guys need to be identified. Okay.
Okay.
Right. The second thing is, somebody should try to make a connection if these guys all have something in common, either ethnically, religiously, or in their field of study, of what they're studying in school. Because it doesn't sound like it's beyond it to me for somebody to be experimenting maybe with a new date rape drug or something like that, or possibly experimenting with some kind of new religious cult or something like that. And okay. Those type of drugs are known to make people really, really thirsty and to make them very, very vulnerable and susceptible to, almost like being brainwashed or hypnotized,
Okay.
So, Okay, the third thing is, I live in Seattle a couple of years ago just for a short time, and all over the news they were talking about human feet that kept washing up, like from the Canadian border all the way down to like the Washington-Oregon border.
Yeah, we covered that story pretty well, but go ahead. What was your question about that?
Well, I just wondered if they had ever solved anything about that, because last I heard they had found like 5 or 6 different human feet that had washed up.
They were all right feet, and they were all connected to running shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And the feeling was, as grisly as that is, that these are people, many of these people, although they were having a hard time making the direct identification, that the assumption is these were drowning victims. These were people in one specific case is somebody who had fallen off of a boat. There was a sinking of a boat, and that the bodies hang, that the reason why it keeps happening is that the foot is buoyed because of the shoe. And when the body decomposes, it just naturally breaks away from the part that still has buoyancy, that being the shoe. What they couldn't figure out is why only the right feet, as of the last report, but it still remains kind of an intriguing, sad mystery. But there's a thought that one or two of them had been hoaxes too. People that had done that had thrown that up there as a hoax. But good, all good points, all interesting. Glad to know. Really, here's a guy who's taking notes. Thank you, John. Let's get to Rich in Ohio on Coast to Coast. Rich?
Hi, Ian. On a positive note, I know that, these things, it's a jungle out there, really. That's probably the best way. It's been very difficult hearing all this tonight, but it's a jungle out there, and we need to be aware. Your guest the other night talked about colloidal silver, how you can charge up your body, your energy, chi, and your pathways is, polarized. You can get those energies of positive healing energy going. I'm actually sitting underneath Mellon Thomas Benedict's light right now, the InLight, as I talk. It's the first broadcast ever with someone sitting underneath your InLight, because today on the Mayan calendar is today, December 21st, 2012, day number 160, right now. So on a positive note, that day is coming up in a cycle of 9 months up until 2012. We'll have it again later this year, too.
What do you think is going to happen on that date?
I think we'll all have a really good party, and then we'll wake up in the next morning, and it'll be another day.
You're exactly right. I do. I completely agree with that. And then we'll have to figure out, what do we do now? Sandra is in Mississippi on Coast to Coast. Sandra?
Well, hello.
Hi.
I think I'd ever get through to you.
Glad we have you. Go ahead.
I have a question. If you think, say, I do this out-of-body stuff, I drift away from myself, I have no memory.
Right.
Stars talk to me. Mist comes out off of my lake and talks to me like the Apostle Paul. And I think I'm damn possessed.
Well, that's kind of
I don't know what to do.
That's a jump. You have out-of-body experiences, and you feel like the mist talks to you, but you feel possessed.
Oh, yes.
What do you feel possessed to do?
Well, actually, I've tried to burn people up and kill them. I've moved off to myself where I live alone. I just don't have no tolerance.
Who did you try to murder?
A couple of my husbands. But they shot me first, so I was just paying them back.
Have you been shot by two separate husbands?
Yeah.
Why'd they shoot you?
Because I don't love them. I have to leave. I can't stand a man under my roof. And under, you know, I just get all bent out of shape.
Why do you marry him?
They married my father's money. It didn't have nothing to do with me. Dumbasses.
Well, you could... you could still say no.
Yeah, right? I still get run like a dog anyways. Yeah, but I'm back off to myself. But I don't know what to do. I get, like you're talking about, paralyzed in your sleep.
Yeah.
And you can't speak. You can't move. Or just your eyeballs will move.
Right.
And then when it breaks away from me, I feel like I'm in a backward cycle vacuum, sucked back together. I was laying in bed, and I opened my eyes, well, that's me I'm looking at right there. I was floating up, and I couldn't move. I thought, well, if I could just wake my husband up, he could make this go away. But what I have to do is I say, oh, God, this is trickery, and then I snap back. Now, what causes that?
I don't know.
Demons in me.
What does the mist say to you? You say the mist talks to you. What does the mist that comes off the lake say?
It knows I can't swim, and it's trying to entice me in this water.
Trying to get you to drown yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just that's a lot. The door.
That's a lot going on, Sandra.
I know it. I take neurotransmitters, antidepressants, Xanaxes for anxiety attacks, but dead people. I see people walking past me all the time. It's like I'm not even in this world, but I'm alive.
Have you ever thought maybe you should just stop taking all those drugs and see what happens?
Yeah.
Maybe the problem is all those drugs.
17. No, this all started when I was 17. I'm 53 now.
Okay. So are you still married?
I guess he's been gone about 10 years. I had to beat him down.
Okay,
he had to go away.
You didn't kill him.
No, but I beat him bad with a cast iron pipe.
Okay.
I beat him bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself.
Okay, well, I do think that you need probably more help than I can give you on a quick phone call, but it does sound like you've got an intriguing list of issues, and if you haven't had a chance to talk about this with a professional, you might want to be proactive about that, Sandra, before it's too late. Too late because you go ahead and marry some other guy and then kill him, or too late meaning that you do something to yourself. So see if you can't do two or three sessions somewhere with somebody on a couch and tell them a little bit about what's going on and see what they say. Jason is in California on Coast to Coast. Jason? Jason? Yeah. Hi, we got a minute for you. Go ahead.
That was an incredible call.
It was interesting, wasn't it? I love that kind of honesty. Yeah. I'll take that in every call if I can get it.
All right. So I'll give you some of this honesty. I'm under a huge amount of pain. Well, I'm actually on top of a bag of ice. I think that I'm going to be gone under the knife, but I'm not sure of it yet.
Why are you sitting on a bag of ice, Jason?
Well, I got a huge amount of pain gone from my hip to my knee.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I respect people that go through this type of thing, you know.
Well, I hope you get better.
Yeah, I will.
You had a question real quick?
Yeah. Is there any of your Coast to Coast fans or anything like that, or any of the doctors that...
Got to get to this quick, Jason. Go ahead. We're running out of time.
Do they get that much pain? I mean, is that normal?
Well, let's see what somebody follows up on that, Jason, and then we'll get back to more open line calls. Rest of the show coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So last caller just before the bottom of the hour break said that had been suffering a lot of physical pain. If you heard that caller and wanted to respond to their question, you can always throw that in. But otherwise, take us in any new direction you want to go in. That's a beautiful thing about open lines. And as you've already heard in the last two or three callers, you never know what will happen next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Open lines, kind of a magical time. You never know what will happen. Let's go first-time caller line on Coast to Coast for Curtis in Washington. Curtis?
Hey, Ian. How's it going?
Good. Where do you want to take
Always
us?
Always look forward to hearing you every weekend.
Oh, thanks. I just love doing this show. And
On a quick follow-up, I guess, to that, was that guy referring to, like, back pain or something?
Yeah, it sounded like from the hip to the knee is what it sounded like. But,
I mean,
yeah,
I've
could
had
be.
Ruptured herniated discs, and sometimes I get pain similar to that. And you know, really the only options I have is either exercise, strengthen the muscles, or anti-inflammatories, or go to
right.
a professional and see about the surgery. But,
well, and you never know. I mean, a little ice can't hurt you. It's a good low-tech solution. But, yeah, it probably isn't enough to really cut down on the pain too much. So what about you?
I was just kind of referring to the first caller, the Jamal, about the demonic or bad entities and trying to, you know, get them to be bored of you, so to speak.
Yeah, that if you stay with a positive outlook long enough, then the negative demons, these energies out there, get bored and go find somebody else to try to mess with.
Well, I mean, I'm not really a religious person. I guess I'd be more spiritual than considering myself religious. But one thing I've heard is simply by calling out a name, and I don't know if it would work with Buddha or Muhammad, but from what I've heard, Jesus, just that name in general, seems to put a stop to anything like that, as well as like alien abductions and stuff like that that people don't want. You know.
Interesting. I had never heard it in context of alien abductions, but I imagine at a time like that, one would be willing to try anything. Like there are no, you know, atheists in foxholes, they said during World War II. I would imagine there'd be more if people felt they were being abducted by aliens, would be willing to call upon the name of anybody, even if they never had before. Rosie, west of the Rockies in West L.A. on Coast to Coast. Rosie?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I have a question about, well, first I have a couple questions. Are you still doing that contest or something about Lily the Bear?
I'm just sort of tangentially involved, but yes, in the North American Bear Center, which is up in Ely, Minnesota, which is right on the Canadian border. They're still keeping an eye on Lily the bear, who just gave birth to a new cub. It's a female cub, and they've yet to come up with a name.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I want to be in a contest, but I have a name that it's not original or anything, but it's about, it has to do with another talk show host that I listen to, Mike Gallagher. His wife is named Denise, and she died a year and a half ago of cancer.
Oh, right. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Right, I did actually when that, you mentioned it, yes.
And after she died, she never got a chance to be, Mike Gallagher's grandfather for the first time. And so she has never got to, doesn't get to be a grandmother because she died. So I guess one of his sons named it was a female, and so he named it Lily Denise, I don't know.
Oh,
Lily
cute.
And Denise was, so at least the Gallaghers have Denise in their family again, and they can, did it to remember her.
Oh, okay.
She never got to be a grandmother.
Well, so you're suggesting Lily Denise for the
Lily,
bear cub?
Well, I mean, the one called, I think one is named Lily. The
right.
Called, well, either Lily Denise or Denise.
Okay. Well, I'll pass it along. I do talk with and thank you so much for that kind thought and for thinking of Mike Gallagher. The North American Bear Center is looking for national contributions. I put a link up on my blog the last couple of different weeks about that, and thousands of you have clicked onto it. Many of you have made donations, and I'll make that suggestion to Lynn Rogers, who's tracking the bear there. David's on an international line in Canada. where the Olympics are taking place even as we speak. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
Actually, I'm calling from Aliso Viejo in Orange County, but that's cool. Hey, I just want to let you know, I would have never listened to this show for some reason. I came across it when me and my friend were actually just hanging out in my truck down in Robinson Ranch in Orange County. And we were just sitting there outside of his house, and all of a sudden this big blue glowing light came out of like the sky. It looked like it just came from like space or something. It was totally weird, trippy thing. Like just came, and it was not even a mile away from us. Just kind of sat there. After it came, like the speed of light, it just sat there, big blue, pearl white, like glowing. It was like super, super bright. You can look at it, and it didn't emulate any light like on the mountains or anything. Because we were like, he lives kind of like right where there's these hills and stuff. So this thing was pretty close, and it just sat there, super, super, super bright. It sat there for about 5 seconds after like coming from space or I don't know, from the sky. It just came there. It just sat there for like 5 or 6 seconds maybe, and it just shot off like perfectly straight to the left behind the mountains. And it was just totally, totally weird. You know, after that, I just kind of started like researching. You know, it was totally clear night sky too. So it wasn't like stormy or cloudy or nothing. So it wasn't like, I don't know, like ball lightning or anything like that. You know, I looked up on YouTube ball lightning or anything. Sure. I can find. It doesn't look right. Like anything like that at all, you know. This was like pretty big. It looked like about the size of a big truck, you know. It was just sat there for like a few seconds. And my friend was there too, so it's not like it was just me, you know. Maybe I could have played it off like a month later or 2 months later, like maybe I was just seeing things or something, but no way, man. This thing was just sitting there. I just thought, and, you know, after like talking to my friend and everything, he had mentioned this show, and then I got hooked on like Richard Hoagland, Linda Mohan-Howe, Stephen Greer with the Disclosure Project. That's like crazy. I can't even believe that stuff. Like, you know, I guess it was the Disclosure Project 2009 or 2008 or something like that. And they had some cool stuff on like implants and stuff like that.
I mean, cool.
Wow. Well, it was like the media, like Fox 11 and all those people don't like cover it. It's like, I was just like, right now I'm like chilling in like my brother-in-law is like $1 million house right now. And it's like, I'm trying to watch like some TV because I just put in some TV.
Yeah,
and I'm living at my parents' house with like no TV, right? Because I just gave it to my parents for TV. And,
right.
I wasn't into it, but anyways, I was watching it here. I was like, man, this is so boring. I'm back to like, so I'm sorry. Am I taking too much time?
I know. I just can't follow where you're going because you go from one topic to another. So yeah, glad you listened to the show.
That I saw that like blue light, and it was like a flying saucer, and I don't know what it was. And you know, after that, I was been hooked on like Hoagland and Stephen Greer, David Wilcock, the Mohan-Howe.
Well, you
folks are like just incredible. I can't even believe this stuff.
Well, you've got the right show for that, and you've had the rare privilege of actually seeing something that many other people can only dream about seeing. And as you say, what it is, you don't know. This is the show to explore that on, and thanks for making a part of your day. Weldon is in Texas on Coast to Coast. Weldon?
Yes. Our alien implants... detectable by airport scanning equipment.
I don't think I've been told one way or another whether they are. I would imagine if you have any type of implant, it'll certainly be showing up, depending on what the alloy is, the material is, when they have the new full body scanners.
I'd be interested. So perhaps you can ask a future guest.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. I've never heard of anybody that's tripped off the scanners without knowing what it was that was doing that, but that's an excellent question. Mandy is in my old haunts in Atlanta, GA. Hey, Mandy.
Hey, what's going on?
Good. How are things in the ATL tonight?
They're awesome.
Good. What can we do? Where are you going to take us here?
I'm calling in about sleep paralysis.
Have you experienced this yourself?
Oh, yes. Many, many times.
What happens to you when you're experiencing sleep paralysis?
It's probably the scariest thing that's ever happened to me before in my life. But the weirdest thing is, my brother and I have always had it, you know, over the years, and we'll have it on the same night.
Are you all twins?
No. We're 7 years apart.
Hmm.
And we'll be, like, states apart when it happens.
What does he experience when it happens to him? The same thing?
Yeah. It feels like you're pinned down. You can't move. You can't open your eyes. You definitely can't talk.
Do you ever have visions of alien abductions?
No, I don't have visions of that, but I've heard like men screaming in my ears, like just tons of them. You know, I want to know if it's paranormal. I have a feeling it is, but who knows?
Well, sleep experts would say it's not paranormal. It's actually fairly trackable scientifically. You are literally, your brain is stuck in between gears.
Well, that's the And how is it, do you think, that my brother and I would have it on the same night?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, that's a fair question. I think physiologically, some people are predisposed to sleep paralysis. It's a body biochemistry thing. And when they experience it, you know, it's the most real, surreal experience that they're ever going to have, correct?
Yes, it's unbelievable.
It's a combination of things that your brain is experiencing and what your senses are experiencing, but you're not processing them at the same time.
Do you think it opens yourself up to maybe spiritual activity or any kind of activity like that?
Explain what you mean by spirit. I think everything opens us up to spiritual activity, so I'm not sure I know what you mean.
When you're in that state, that it's easier for somebody to contact you, or, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Who's the them?
Well, a spirit or an entity, just anything. Anything that is not in our realm, that is not living at that moment.
In the realm of the corporeal, of the physical living. Is that what
exactly.
You mean to say? Okay. I suppose that's true. I mean, you're in an altered state where you're processing things that you're seeing and feeling and hearing differently. So does that mean that if there was something there that ordinarily your way too busy mind, your fully engaged mind would be missing, that is suddenly open to? I suppose so. Yeah.
That's
but I'm not worried. I'm not worried about evil spirits, though. Or do you feel like that? Is that your concern?
It feels like something's evil because it feels like someone's actually holding you down.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know what to tell you other than because I've never experienced that one, but we've done a couple of shows on it. And that's what I remember, that there's even a predictable pattern for some people in when they experience sleep paralysis, depending on diet, depending on stress levels. Some people are more susceptible to it than others. Some people may go through their whole life and never have a sleep paralysis experience.
Exactly. Well, my brother and I, we just let it ride. You know,
yeah.
Normally I would, you know, we would try to get out of it, and you're just struggling and struggling and struggling. But
it's like a riptide, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awful. So I just let it happen. You can feel it coming off.
That's what I'm told. Now, would you might want to do this and encourage your brother to do it too. Is journal immediately afterward. Write down every single thing you could remember, every image, every sound, every word, everything that you could remember, write it down right after you can, even though you're forcing yourself to get up. And that it might be interesting to see the things that you forget the next day that may be informative as to what how your body or how your mind was experiencing your life. Okay.
I want to shoot my email out, you know, for anybody to give me some information if they have it. Is that all right?
Here's our fear about that is that too often people say, I want to shoot out my email, and then they shoot out the email of somebody else as a prank. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take your email off the air, Mandy, and we'll have that there by the phones. And if somebody calls in and asks for it, then we could do it that way. Let me do Morgan in Iowa on an East of the Rockies line on Coast to Coast. Morgan?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's open lines, buddy.
Hey, I was wondering, have you guys ever done a show on people who can see the future?
All the time.
Well, when are you going to do another one?
I don't know. Is this something that you're experiencing you want to talk about?
Well, couple things. I mean, one time I was just sitting at home. My sister had one of her friends over there. We went to the mall. I seen her and her sister stealing something. So right before they leave, you know, I tell her, grab her by her shoulders, look her in the eye. Don't steal anything today, Amber. You know, so she goes to the mall, and she does that. And she comes home, and she's got caught stealing. I mean, but, you know, I saw it in my mind happening.
Have you ever thought that maybe you put that in her mind to do it?
Because of what I said?
Yeah.
I never thought that, no.
Well, I'm not taking nothing away from your psychic ability, but there is an interesting correlation between when we warn people not to do something and what they become more inclined to do. And it has to do with kind of the basic function of our reptile brain, that when you tell somebody, don't look over there, it's the one thing they become focused on doing. And if only at a subconscious level, they keep wanting to look over there. Now, it may be the most horrible thing in the world, and you may be 100% right to tell them not to look there. But when you isolate it, when you stigmatize something, when you say, don't do this, don't touch this, don't eat this food, don't pull on this, you know, knob, don't whatever you're going to do, that's the thing that person becomes most focused on until they've had a chance to do it. Didn't that sound like something we all go through?
Well, I mean, no. If somebody told me not to go steal something, I don't think I would go and steal something.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you may be right.
What?
I said you may be right, but go ahead. You wanted to add one more thing?
Another thing, when I was I had a teacher, Mrs. Morgan, in a classroom one day, and one time she looked at me, and I saw an image of her crying in her car, holding her mouth with her hands. And like a couple months later, me and my brother were playing catch in the yard, and a guy got an accident on his motorcycle, and my brother took off running to go see what happened, and I took off after him, and a van out of nowhere blew, hit him, and he goes flying through the air, and I look, and I see her face just like that day I saw it in the classroom.
It's very interesting. Kind of a shining, kind of a Christopher Walken thing too, and kind of, you know, stuck with that and a knowing. Well, entirely possible. I mean, I believe that sort of thing is possible. So just write them down too. That's the other thing I hope you do. Write them down, write down the time. When you have a real clear vision and go back and check your record later on, you might be surprised at how accurate you really are. James is in Georgia, first time caller line on Coast to Course. James?
Hey, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time listener and a long-time caller. and I would like to say that I often patronize the businesses and services that advertise on Coast to Coast and encourage the other listeners to do the same. So I'll get to my question, man.
You can't go wrong with C. Crane, can you?
That's right. There you go.
Yeah.
Man, you get to listen to all these the theories of everything that comes in, whereas us listeners, you know, I pick it up from time to time. I listen to the
sure.
show, and you're
sure.
exposed to all these theories, all these supernatural, I guess theories is the word for it, paranormal stuff. If I put you on the spot and I said, what would you bet the farm on? Which one of these things is absolutely true? Ghosts or UFOs or bases on the moon or Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster? Or
you want to know what
Earth
I...
Or, go ahead. Yes, sir.
What I bet the farm on, I'll have to tell you about coming up. Okay?
Okay. I'll thanks for
all
taking
right.
my call.
We'll do that only. Jason, am I late for a break? Am I right on time? Okay, we're good. I will do that coming up.